Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and back again with me this week is Chris McShane. Chris, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
I'm trying to sound enthused, but in the interest of full disclosure to our listeners, I'm doing the podcast this week mostly out of obligation. I'd rather be talking about second division English football.
It's understandable.
And it's true to a certain extent every week, don't get me wrong. But especially this week, my Wednesday boys are unbeaten in six. They have a showdown with Nottingham Forest, their first game on TV on Saturday morning. Another top-of-the-table team. And they just drew Manchester City away in the third round of the League Cup, which is very exciting since usually they end up getting, like, Birmingham City or Aston Villa or Charlton, or like this past matchup they got Burnley, which is technically a Premier League team at this moment, probably not next year, but so it's exciting times in South Yorkshire. And the Mets, look, this should be like my time of year. Like, I get some Mets fans tired of the fourth year sort of treading water under Alderson. But, you know, you got Zach Wheeler starting tonight. Wilmer Flores hit a home run. You know, the kids coming up. The Arizona Fall League rosters were announced. You've got minor league playoffs in a week or two. I don't know, maybe it's just like sort of the fourth year of this shit, but I just can't get excited about it anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'll take your word for all the soccer stuff, as I know nothing. But yeah, these Mets this week, it's not a very inspiring topic right now. Not a very inspiring watch. But I recommend listening to the rest of this podcast, of course.
Yes. Wherein we will talk mostly about the Mets. But not to be confused with the Mostly Mets podcast.
Right.
Tuned in by accident. So the agenda for episode 83, which once again we'll be taking from the year 1983, but a refrain that is still appropriate today, 30-some-odd years on, at least we got Keith. You could have said it about the 83 Mets, and you can say it about the 2014 Mets.
All right, that works.
So I'll talk a little bit about Bartolo Colon and where the Bartolo Colon trade rumors stand at 8:15 on Wednesday night. We'll talk a little bit about Lucas Duda's breakout season and what we see from him maybe going forward. And then we'll answer your emails. We have a few emails, and we'll get to those. It'll be a low-key podcast this week, I think. I'm drinking a beer out of a can. The Cambridge Brewing Company Remain in Light Pilsner, which I bought primarily because it's named after Talking Heads' album.
It's a good reason to buy a beer.
It's actually quite good, though. And it's just, like, humid. It stormed on my way home from work, but it's just still humid enough that the Pilsner is refreshing. So Bartolo Colon is still a Met, Chris.
Yes, he is.
He might not be by the time you're listening to this, because that's sometimes how the podcast works. But it looks like he probably will be a Met by the time you're listening to this. The teams that were rumored to be interested in Colon, the usual suspects, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Kansas City Royals, for some reason, have all sort of, or it's sort of leaked out that they're less interested now. Peter Gammons with the kibosh on the Dodgers rumors. The Royals rumors were sort of dismissed as just that this morning. And who knows what the Angels are actually doing, but they seem to be going forward with Michael Roth, perhaps. I guess we'll start with some ham-fisted predictions. We're 96 hours or thereabouts from the August 31st trading deadline. On September 1st, will Bartolo Colon still be a Met, Chris?
I'm saying yes, even though I don't think that next year the contract is really incredibly scary. I think I tweeted it recently that I'd put my bet on Colon having a better 2015 than Dylan G. I'll stick to that. I like Dylan G. I'm a G supporter. I remember there was an episode where he came up and he was my guy to watch. I think it was early last season. So, you know, nothing against G, but I just like Bartolo a little bit more. And I don't quite get why his salary next year seems to be an obstacle. I mean, I know the obvious points. He's old. He's Bartolo Colon. But he's doing all right at 41 this year. So I don't know that he's going to fall off a cliff at 42. But because of all that, I think he will be pitching games for the Mets in September.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. I guess let's look at the sort of the Bartolo Colon actuarial table first before we get into the maybe the whys and the hows of the deal that's probably not going to happen. Yes, he's going to be 42 next year, and he's fat. But he's been very successful at 41, even more successful at 40, also successful at 39 and 38. At a certain point, that should sort of overwhelm the age concerns. Now, is he as good as he was this year? Maybe not. But, you know, $11 million for a league average-ish starter is hardly onerous in this market, especially on a one-year deal. And I think to your point with Dylan G, I think there's a feeling from the Mets fan base, too, that Bartolo Colon is too expensive to be an insurance policy for the 2015 rotation. And that argument would be more compelling if it didn't beg the question, is Bartolo Colon an insurance policy for the 2015 rotation? I think I actually used beg the question properly there, by the way. I'm sure Eric will correct me if I didn't.
Yes,
or is he really the third best pitcher on this 2015 team, theoretically?
Right. I might pick him fourth.
Third or fourth. If he's one of the five best pitchers on the 2015 team, why are you looking to trade him? Especially when it's Bartolo Colon's $11 million is not standing between the Mets and the Mets adding, that money's not standing between the Mets adding a big bat or something. It's just not. It's covering arbitration raises, essentially. You know, there'd possibly be more, if it's just strictly a financial and numbers crunch, there might be more 2015 value in keeping Colon and non-tendering Bobby Parnell, Eric Young, and somebody else. I don't know who. Which I guess therein lies the problem, trying to find that money elsewhere. But this is a staff with, you know, the 2015, I'm sure the Mets fan ideal 2015 rotation is Wheeler, Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, and then one of Nice, G, Montero, maybe Mats at some point. But that's just not realistic. You know, Nice and G have injury issues. DeGrom's already had a shoulder scare. Harvey's coming off Tommy John surgery. You know, Bartolo Colon, God bless his heart, will give you 200 innings of league average pitching, which is valuable to the Mets. You know, I get why the Dodgers and Royals aren't really involved. The Dodgers don't need Bartolo Colon to make the playoffs. Partially because they have enough starting pitching depth, even starting Correa, who the Mets lit up on Sunday. And partially because the Giants can't get out of their own way. And he's kind of superfluous for them for 2015. They can go sign John Lester or James Shields because they're the Los Angeles Dodgers and spend $111 million instead of $11 million. To do what they want.
And you know things are going well for you when you acquire Kevin Correa and things are just, they're all right.
And the Royals, you know, the Royals are in a